Blog Talk Radio.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way, yo. Trying to learn the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright, oh. No one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together, I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse. Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I run my class like I know I should, I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood, I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah. Getting my class to spread the wind, being at school makes me wanna sing, oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together, teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever, I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes, I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time, gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah,
yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses,
and we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes, you're jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is online, gonna open up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.
Good evening, everyone. This is Teacher Talks live on Tribe Family Channel with myself, Stacy McClam. Listeners online can join the conversation by calling 347-539-5285. For those of you who are on the call and want to listen online, please follow the studio at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Teacher Talks live on Tribe Family Channel is a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand created by Beverly Black, sponsored by myself, Stacy McClam, and my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. My book is available on Amazon in digital and paperback format. If you would like more information, you can go online to www.stacymcclam.com, and you can follow me on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Stacy McClam, S-T-A-C-I-E-M-C-C-L-A-M. Now, today is the season one finale, And I'm so excited. We will have an informative discussion about trauma in schools as it affects teachers and students. We welcome your calls and input. And today we have a special guest, actor Christian Henley. And before I have Christian introduce himself, I just wanted to give a shout out to the Oakland teachers who are in their third day of striking today. They started last Thursday, and I believe it was raining today in Oakland. I saw the videos online with umbrellas and teachers wearing ponchos. So I support them and the teachers trying to have a 12% raise so that they can afford to live in Oakland, for them to have smaller classes, and for them to have more counselors and nurses for students, because those are important resources that teachers need. Those school psychologists are very necessary because students are coming to school with a lot of issues. So, Christian, how are you today?
Hey.
Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. I'm super thrilled to be joining you guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So can you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, for sure. I'm from Detroit. I grew up in Los Angeles, California. Here in L.A., grad at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. I went to graduate school at USC. I studied political science and Mandarin Chinese in undergrad, and I studied acting in grad school at USC. And I took a job after a number of other jobs, but I took a job in education at a non-public school here in Los Angeles. And then myself and a number of other educators came together and developed a story based on our collective experience in education there and other places.
Cool. So, as you know, I was a teacher for many years as well. I was a teacher for 10 years. And what I noticed in the different places that I taught in Washington, D.C., Denver, and Los Angeles, a pattern. I also taught in Japan and Kuwait, but in the U.S. I noticed a pattern where students experienced a lot of trauma, and I wanted to bring awareness about what was going on because the students need help and the teachers need help also. And so we didn't have resources to deal with the students. And I know Christian from a film organization that we were both in, and I saw Christian at a Black House Foundation party at the Sundance Film Festival in Utah. And I tapped him on the shoulder and was like, "Hey, are you so-and-so from the organization?" And the Black House Foundation is an organization to educate, inspire, and support Black creative voices. And it's important, I think, for a social justice aspect to even have film as a way to express yourself and talk about issues in education. So that's why I wanted to talk to you today, Christian. So can you tell us both about projects you're working on, any thoughts you have about what's going on with education today?
I heard what you said. You taught in Japan and Kuwait. It's funny, I taught in Shanghai, China for a little bit myself. So you speak to social justice and how the power of film in those regards, and how exposure and awareness can bring represented communities and under truly epidemics that are going on in like our community. So for one, I think our biggest national threat is not our, Donald Trump self-proclaimed, immigration issue, but
right.
is our education. It's education. And I know for myself growing up, I experienced, as many of us do, I experienced a lot of childhood traumas that went undealt with. And I didn't, when I went to the classroom, I noticed how it seeped into the classroom, my ability to pay attention, to learn, to social, and how I'm affected, or how I was affected, and how as an adult, what it's done to me, and to kind mm-hmm. of, for some of those things that I think were overlooked or missed in my rearing process, and which kind of led me back to the classroom myself, but I guess we'll touch on that in a second. Some of the things I'm involved in right now, I just shot a television pilot as an actor that was at Sundance. It's called It's Not About Jimmy King, which is about the unarmed killing of a black, the killing of an unarmed black teen, and this interracial family's take on it. So it kind of touches on like that subject matter. I don't think we've seen that necessarily on the stage or on screen. And I'm also developing a pilot myself in the more producerial writer position of a certain sect of school called non-public schools. Although it's not specific to NPSs, non-public schools, but we see it here, which is essentially a continuation school for our at-risk youth. It runs the gambit or the span of people suffering from emotional, social, behavioral, academic disabilities. And where I fit or where us as instructors or teachers or educators fit into that world, because it's not just children who are coming into the classroom with their own traumas. It's the teachers, the educators who have their own thing. And how do those two worlds, excuse me, there's a plane now crossing overhead. Give me 1 second. Sorry about that.
No problem.
All right, that should be better now. Just seeing how the two worlds from child to adult and how that mixed in the classroom and what's conducive to the best educational environment possible. I don't know if that answers your, original question.
Yeah, it does. So for me, I wrote the book because it was therapy for me. I hadn't even planned on writing a book. I just needed to get my feelings out just after, the years of dealing with not knowing, I should say, how to deal with students and their issues. And so a lot of teachers need help in this area. And actually, I've only taught first grade through fourth grade, and in my teaching career, I've mostly taught first grade. And the sad part is that I've seen these issues with these very young children, 6 and 7 years old, and I felt powerless because I felt like I wasn't helping them. I wasn't able to, I taught, but not to the level that I wanted to. And there were multiple kids at different schools with a lot of mental health issues needing support, and there was really nothing I could do. And I could see very well how this school could be just a pipeline to prison, because it was kind of set up that way. And I didn't know what to do. And a lot of other teachers felt the same way.
That was kind of one of the bigger things that I saw, was that, so I was a one-to-one, an adult assistant, which just means, so the particular school that I worked at, every student receives an IEP, an individual education plan. So once you aren't, I guess, if the school district finds that your needs are higher than they're able to meet in your public school, then they'll send you to a continuation, one of our specialized schools, where you will receive an individual education plan. And so in that, every student is given a clinician and specialized curriculum. And so a part of that, for our students who have higher needs, they will be given a one-to-one, an adult assistant, myself, insert Christian, where I facilitate that student's school day from the beginning to the end. So in this role, I got to go from classroom to classroom with a particular student, up to 3 students, and kind of see where and how teachers have grown despondent over the years. It's hard. It's a tough environment, like what you say, with the lack of resources, and to being able to care for and give adequately. So teachers are oftentimes overworked and overexhausted in the classroom, which doesn't allow them to give how they want to or how they initially set out to do so, because the demand is very high. And it's just one person. Oftentimes in these continuation schools, you have to have two people, a teacher and a teacher's assistant, to kind of meet that those higher needs. But so that's very tough to see how a lot of the students, their needs honestly fall through the cracks because you only have one, sometimes two people bearing the load of what really should be, you know, it says it takes a village, somewhat of an inadequate system. That was really tough for me to see. I also grew exhausted because it's not just, you see, we hear this all the time. It starts at home. And when a child doesn't have that home base and they're coming to school looking for parenting from the teacher on top of education from the teacher, that can get tough. And that's the part that really hurts, because you can't, when you're not starting at education and you're starting at behavior, then it's really tough to kind of, all right, so, and you know, I have a curriculum here, but I can't get to the curriculum yet because there's some behavioral issues that I need to address. But I can't address the behavioral issue until I address the trauma. And so you have to, before you, you know, and I just signed up to be an educator, a teacher. But before I can get to the thing that I signed up to do that I feel adequate of doing, I have to address some basic primitive parenting things. And so it's tough. And then on top of that, you don't feel equipped with the resources you need to do the job that you signed up for. Once over years, and like you said, you've been in a church for 10 years, and you said, you know, your book is leaving the classroom, or school dismissed, excuse me. But you know, your journey of leaving the classroom, myself, I also had to leave. And I was not there nearly as long as you, but in that short amount of time, relatively, that I was in the classroom, I saw that there's no way that I could stay here and utilize and be the best person and be able to give as I would like to give. In fact, the best way for me to give to these students is if I were to leave and do my own work over here to kind of create an infrastructure that will support the needs of the kids in a way in which I believe they actually need.
And so that is, so you're an actor. Is that why you want to act, or is that what drew you to acting?
I actually became, so when I was in, I went to a Catholic school from kindergarten to eighth grade, really, but in second grade, you know, I'll give you the quick story. In second grade,
yeah,
I was sitting in church. I went to a Catholic school, and we had the Stations of the Cross. For the Catholics out there, they'll know it's like 15 or 17 steps or stations of Jesus' crucifixion. And I'm no longer Catholic, but the prince. So how I got into it was in one of the stations, a guy named Simon, you know, while everybody else is spitting at Jesus and laughing at him for having to carry this cross, a guy named Simon comes in, carry the cross for maybe like two of the stations, and then he leaves. And at that moment, when I was in second grade, that really spoke to me. Without really knowing the term for it intellectually, I was learning emotionally what empathy was. And so that stuck with me, and it remained a theme in my life over the course of my life. And then once I was able to understand, there's a discipline for this that I was feeling in the story and that Simon was displaying in the story, that discipline to me was called acting. Being able to step into the shoes of another and give and receive that experience of what it is to be someone else. And so that's how I came to acting. And I studied undergrad my whole life. I said I would always tell my mom that I would either be, which speaks to another thing I want to talk about, but I told my mother I either wanted to be a lawyer or an actor. I've been saying this since I was in the fifth grade. And people would joke and say, people would joke and say, oh, they're actually the same thing. In a lot of cases, it's the truth. But this is another thing I wanted to speak to, Stacey, is that, you see, growing up, I only knew, and I think this is the truth for a lot of us, is that I only knew five professions for the most part. I knew that my options were either I was going to be a basketball player, a football player, a lawyer, a doctor, or a rapper. So basketball, football, lawyer, doctor, actor, rapper, and an entertainer, let's just say entertainer. Sports player, entertainer, or the two, lawyer, doctor. That's a problem that we don't know growing up what the true options are. We have severely limited what our options can be in life to these five or so categories. And that's the biggest disservice. Because if you don't fall in line of those things, then you feel, and if you don't want to do any of that, which is appropriate and okay, then you feel like, well, what am I going to do? Well, I guess I'll just lay back and whatever. So that's why we have so many of our people just making sure they're the best on the basketball court. I know that was true for me and my friends. It was like, I'm either going to play ball, I'm going to rap, I'm going to act, or if I'm smart, I guess I'll be a doctor or a lawyer. So, but anyways, I grew up and I went on to undergrad for political science and grad school for acting. And so what I've done is I married my interest, and I am able to do both. So through my storytelling and acting and producing and writing, I'm able to address some of the more, I don't want to call them political, but some of the more political things that I want to say to the world, and my first stop being education and how trauma has informed how kids learn from my community and how what it's done to me. Because I think every story needs to be personal. And, you know, I do have a personal stake in it. So.
Yeah, I definitely
It's a long-winded answer to your question.
No, it's a lot wrapped up in what you said. So, you know, as a teacher, we have to follow the Common Core standards in teaching our curriculum, and I've oftentimes found them very limiting and not allowing us creativity with the kids for their own individual gifts to come out and shine and to learn how to be entrepreneurs and be innovative and be critical thinkers. And so that also contributed to me not feeling effective. And I was always bused from first grade to schools outside of my neighborhood. So I grew up in an all-black community, and I was always bused to schools first grade through 12th grade to other schools. And so at a very young age, like you, I kind of had that empathy, like, hey, I know this school is different. This school is better. Why is that? So I knew inequalities at a very young age. And yeah, the system just keeps repeating itself, and I'm like, this is not okay. I noticed tracking in high school with the different levels. We had not only the magnet, the regular school, quote unquote, the magnet school, and even within the magnet, we had three different tracks: AP, advanced placement, honors, advanced honors, and honors. And so, the schools are set up, you know, to track people in different ways to go different directions. And 2 years after I started teaching, I went to law school and graduated and then went back into the classroom, and I didn't practice law because I wanted the legal education because I thought it would help with education reform and policy, but then I realized the law had no meat, like there's no enforcement, and it was just there, but nothing being really done. So I'm like, okay, well, how can I be effective? I guess I'll go back to the classroom because this law is not helping with education the way I want it to. You know, nothing's getting done. Just the inequality still exists, and it seems to be okay. So that's kind of where the book came from, and now I'm writing a script for a feature film that will be called School Dismissed, again, to get my voice out about the issues, because it's just not acceptable. And that's why I think the teachers are getting frustrated now, and that why you see so many strikes from Denver to Los Angeles last month and Oakland now, because they're saying, hey, we need, you know, school psychologists. We need to get paid so that we can actually live in our house. Like, these are basic things. Having a school nurse full time, that's important. So, yeah,
what?
Just I'm seeing film now as a way to, I guess, bring awareness to some of these issues. So, yeah, I
absolutely.
Definitely can relate.
And as you were saying earlier, you mentioned the school-to-prison pipeline and tracking and how with these, you know, in zero tolerance and having, you know, police presence in schools. And what I was shocked to learn and see and experience at the school I was working at was how these kids who we know don't have necessarily that advocacy behind them to keep them from places like this. So they end up in these schools with not many people speaking for them, them already having, you know, maybe some troubles or some challenges advocating for themselves initially. We've already got that. But they end up here. They are labeled as disruptive for potentially maybe a lack of cultural competency from
mm-hmm.
one coach. Because a lot of the times, you see, whoever was in your classroom, in my classroom, because I later eventually ended up getting a class that I was able to, you know, teach, they're lucky, you know, especially if they're black or brown, because most times, I know for myself, I didn't have that growing up. Most of my teachers were white American. And so that plays a huge part into the psyche of that kid growing up as far as his agency, especially if they're non-white. But
mm-hmm.
so at the schools that more so resemble prisons than they do schools, that is a socialization. That is attracting, like you were saying, like never before. You've got these kids who already they've got little agency for themselves, and then you put them in a place that tells them, and then in this place, you don't give them adequate education. And then here they have police. And the issue that I saw is that a lot of times the teachers don't feel like teachers. They feel like parole officers. And then you're going to underpay parole officers who are just people trying to teach. That and
right.
so the issue becomes compounded in that way until it's something where it's like, you're right, going to law school and studying the law, I never did that, so I don't know what you were confronted with, but I know plenty of my friends who have done that, to Teach for America, tried to go to law school, I really don't know, and you know there's much more than me, but all I can tell you is my experience in field. I can't tell you what it's like at the administrative or the policymaking level, but something needs to change drastically, I think, in the fabric of the way that it's set up. Because as it stands, majority of our schools, which means majority of our kids, which means majority of our people, do not get,
right.
you know, the actual services.
Black
and
brown
that's,
kids
and that's
is what
tough.
It is.
Is black and brown kids. And at the, you know, if I'm speaking frankly, you know, where I was at, it was 98% black and brown students being taught and being, a lot of the clinicians, most of the clinicians were white or Jewish, and the students were black and brown. And the teachers were white or Jewish, and the administrators were white or Jewish, and the students were black and brown. And I think already, well, this doesn't look good. This doesn't look good. And it was tough because I'll give you an example, and I don't know how much I could speak on this because of whatever law that's in place, but we had an incident on campus where police presence was necessary. And so we had the police come, and it was myself and another staff member who were kind of ordered to maintain and kind of destabilize the situation with one particular student. And so we did that. And when the police came to detain the student, this is how it happened. They barged into the room that myself, the other staff member, and the student were being held calmly. It was under control. It was de-escalated. And the police came in with their weapons drawn and began to order the other staff. First of all, that's an issue.
Yeah.
Because the situation was de-escalated. The weapons were drawn when they came into the room. So already you're criminalizing and socializing all of these kids to this as it's normal. You're normalizing this abnormal behavior of police running onto your campus through these gates and then having their weapons drawn. These are kids. So, and it wasn't, if the situation was heightened, okay, maybe, but not in a situation where everything was calm at the time. So, anywho, they came in, other staff member, onto the ground. They thought he was a threat. They made him the threat and was shouting, mm-hmm. barking orders at him, weapons drawn on him, and I'm standing there. Now, the thing is, I dressed a particular way. My staff member, he didn't. He dressed more so like the student. That was his way because he's in field. That was his way of relating to the student. Because in an environment like this, it's better if you have some cachet with the students, because sometimes, you know, being just a barking authority figure doesn't necessarily work for kids and people who don't respond well to people barking orders at them. So mm-hmm. you relate in other ways. He decided to relate in a way of, hey, man, I'm kind of like a peer. You understand? I respect you. You respect me. This is the way that we're going to communicate. So anyway, the police saw him as a threat too, just because he kind of looked like the kid, or looked like the kid in the way that he dressed. But he's a man. He's a grown man. You would know. But they didn't take the time. And I felt like the issue was on the administrators who had the tape, who saw the room, who told the police, go into the room. The student is in there. But they didn't care to make sure that their own staff members, this is another issue, they didn't take the time to make sure that their own staff members were safe, because they were protected in their offices. But we're the ones that are on the mm-hmm. ground. So a lot of times you see, so if it's a hierarchy, the yep. top, white, all the way until you get down to the behavior staff, the people who are in the field, the people who are the security guards, if you will, the protection against, the buffer between, really.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even just the students in the classroom. It's on an administrative level. And that's how I think you've got this cycle. It's tough. It's a tough thing to watch and witness.
It's a tough thing.
For me,
you're absolutely right. Yes, and we are live Teacher Talks on Tribe Family Channel, and I will respond to Christian's comments, very insightful, after our commercial break.
Hi, my name is Stacey McClam. I'm an educator and author and the host of Teacher Talks on Tribe Family Channel. So what's your genius? My genius is that I'm sensitive to education issues. I was a teacher for 10 years. Last year, I resigned from the teaching profession, and I wrote a book about it entitled School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. My book is available on Amazon in digital and in paperback format. Today, I am wearing red in support of Day 3 of the Oakland Teachers and the Oakland Teacher Strike. Now I am on a mission to create films specifically about education issues so that people know what's going on inside of schools so that we can help our students. So what's your genius? Genius is common.
I like it.
Okay, so we are back, and before the commercial break, Christian was talking about the criminalization of students and how staff members are treated versus administrators in schools. And it is so true. And we're talking about some very real issues here that a lot of people who aren't in the classroom may not be aware of. So any parents listening or others, it's really important that you check into our school. I feel it's a national emergency situation, what's going on in schools. Now, in terms of the criminalization, I was at the elementary school level. However, we still had a lot of the issues, seriously, that you're talking about with constant fighting, like full-blown swinging and not like little girl, little boy punches, like kids swinging where adults could not hold them down. So it's like teachers feeling like we had to suit up and get ready for war walking into the school. This is the kind of heightened anxiety we would have on a daily basis, like we're going into a war zone. And so Los Angeles a couple of years ago has passed a law where you couldn't, there's no more zero tolerance policy. And so what that means is that students basically will not get suspended. They're trying to reduce the suspensions because they say the suspensions lead to the school to prison pipeline. However, if you decrease suspensions, then there are no in-house suspensions either. So that means the student is still contained in the classroom, being disruptive and not getting the help that they need and disturbing other students, so the teacher can't teach. So if you're not going to have suspension, then you need to have more staff, resources, psychologists, counselors, social workers, therapists, whatever, to help those students. And so that doesn't happen. So the problem is the kid or kids are still in the classroom and learning is not taking place. So I've seen that. And then I've also seen there's a term now, and there's a book about the it's not called the adultification of black girls, but it's to that effect. And that book is specifically about black girls, but there's also been discussions and a lot of research about the adultification of black children in general. And I get the argument, and the problem is some kids are acting like adults and taking on adult behavior with the fighting, with the tone, with the anger. And so teachers, some can, that can cause a problem. And so that's an issue. And I've also seen many times where administrators do not know what's going on in this, either don't know or don't care of what's going on in the school in terms of, you know, the issues that are actually happening, the violence that's actually occurring in the classrooms. And yeah. I'll stop right there, Christian, and let you talk.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you said earlier, and I want to talk about the violence going on in the classroom and the adultification of black women and just black kids. I've found that, you know, a lot of times kids are, one, just mimicking the toxic behaviors they see at home, and then mm-hmm. two, when you don't have, you know, parent, you can't grow up faster than you're supposed to. So a lot of times, because of whatever the reasons are, systemic reasons, you know, kids, myself included, you know, you have to grow up faster than you're supposed to, out of necessity.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. you know, I knew a student who, you know, you would never believe. I think he was like in the sixth grade, and you know, this kid, by his experience, by his behavior displayed at school, you would think that he was just a terror at home. But when he got home, he took care of his autistic sister and cooked dinner for his family every night. The kid was in the sixth grade, and you're like, what? That kid's doing that? But when he gets here, it's the only time he can be a child. It's the only time he can. It's the only time he's allowed to express. And you were talking about the creativity in the curriculum, and so it's so rudimentary. Where I was at every lesson, and I had a big issue, and I kind of took it up with the principal of the whole school about it, but every lesson was mandated that it had to be on worksheet. Every assignment had to be on a worksheet so that they can document it, so that they can see and measure it because of IEPs. But if you've got an environment like this, how can you make, you've got kids with big personalities already, and trouble, if you say, sitting still and doing this rudimentary program, how can you not make your lesson exciting, engaging, outside, interactive? You're going to stick them to a worksheet? That's why you're not seeing the results that you're looking for, that you're hoping for, because of the way that you're teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like you were saying, it severely limits what you wanted to do in the classroom, because you have to teach to a curriculum. You have to teach to a very limiting, alienate, again, black and brown kids, because it's not about them. There's no place for them inside of it. Further eating, I think, away at that agency that we don't get to cultivate in our traditional educational setting, which could lead to that violence that you're talking about, which could lead to that I'm going to take it out on you. The only way that I know how to communicate is through my fist. I've seen that, because at home, that's what they see, because mm-hmm. they don't know maybe how, but they don't have the words to articulate how they're feeling. So the best way that they can is, I need to punch you. I need to spit on you, or something like to that nature. Another thing that I found was that, like, art is such, I was blown away at how the art was such a pathway for these kids to find themselves in. Me being taught off of a worksheet doesn't work for me, but if you put me in front of a microphone, or you taught me some literary devices through, see, what I did was, I wanted to teach a lot of my students. I taught in high school, and a lot of the students could not do fundamental reading and mm-hmm. and fundamental mathematics. This is high school. Mm-hmm. I had an 18-year-old kid who literally didn't understand the difference between the plus sign and the minus sign.
Yep.
So, yeah, 18 years old. And when I took it, and this is the crazy part, when I took it up with one of my higher-ups, they made a joke about it.
Mm.
Verbatim.
Yeah.
So the good news is this, because I came to her and I said, hey, I've just recently learned that my student doesn't know the difference between a plus or minus. You can't do fundamental mathematics or reading. And she said, well, there's good news here. The good news is that most of our kids can't do fundamental mathematics or read or write.
So that makes it better.
And that makes it, wow. That made it better for this. So, and then as the conversation unfolded, I said, well, what happens when this kid has to get a job? She continued. And, you know, I understand it's a tough environment. So sometimes everyone's got their own way in, and humor was a way of, for her, of dealing with the situation. And bless her heart, she's doing what she can, I guess. But I don't know. It gave me the sense that you find this to be kind of funny. And at the point, I know that maybe when you started this, it maybe wasn't so funny for you. But maybe at the point when now this is humorous and you've kind of become passive about our issue, maybe that's when you could start looking at yourself and readjusting, or looking at someone else for the position. If not, I don't want to speak on anyone's character, because I know it's a tough job, but it's a job that still needs to get done, because these are people's lives on the line. Because I know for myself that I was the best thing, unfortunately, that could happen to that kid. And I hate to say this, because it's not the best thing, but if he doesn't end up in a place where someone is taking care of him, then he's going to end up in an unfortunate situation, one or the other, and, you know, dead or in jail, period.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got no options. He's got no options.
Right.
And they know that. They know that. What do? When you've got a whole place and you know that none of these kids are going to graduate. They're going to age out, and then they're going to end mm-hmm. up in jail or dead. Like 80 to 90% of our students who don't go to college,
mm-hmm.
who do not, I think actually that's actually, I want to be more accurate about this. I went in there one time because I wanted to create like a scholarship for some of the students going on to second, you know, higher education. And I was told mm-hmm. that, we've only had I think the history of that whole school, they've only had 3 people. And this school has been around for years. They've only had 3 people go on to higher education. And they're okay with that.
Yeah. Those low standards, that's what I can't get past. Like, I just kept seeing it over and over and over again, and I'm like, how is this acceptable? Like, it's so blatant. Nobody's trying to hide it. And it's just like, okay. And even we can't retain kids now, So when, you know, I have the young kids first grade, and if they don't have, if you don't have those phonic sounds by first grade, you're never going to catch up. It's rare, I'll say, to catch up later. And the second grade teacher, third grade teacher, fourth grade teacher doesn't have time most of the time to go back and teach you phonics. So you're just kind of left not knowing how to read. Like, it's very difficult to catch up if you don't have it by first grade. And we can't retain students, so they're just passed along. And that's how we get students like the one that you mentioned who didn't know the difference between the plus and the minus sign at 18 years old. So, yeah, and I don't know how to address the system. Like, it's just ridiculous.
And how is he in high school? How old is he in right. high school? He doesn't know the difference between plus or minus. He got passed along.
Mm-hmm.
How did you make it this far? So.
Yeah. So we are live.
But what we go ahead.
Oh, and I was just going to tell any new listeners who popped in, we are live on Tribe Family Channel with Teacher Talks. And go ahead, Christian.
Oh, I was just going to say, but, you know, what we had such a heavy talk, but for me, what I found is, what can you do about it, Christian? If you feel this way, what are the positives? Where's the hope in this whole situation? And so what we've mm-hmm. done is, from our plan is, the team behind AWOL, that's the name of the show that we're developing, the team behind AWOL, we're committed to whatever comes from our show, whatever proceeds, whatever, we want to take a portion of it and start our own small private school so we can see it done the way that we believe it can be done. So that's where we kind of take our experience and put it into practice. We believe that there's no bad person, there's no bad student. There's no one who's incapable of learning. Maybe learning looks different for everybody. But at the end of the day, you have to believe that people are capable of bettering themselves, whatever that means. And so we're looking at starting our own school from our experiences here. So that's the positivity in all of it.
Yes.
It's never too late. It's never too late.
Right. Can you tell us more about AWOL?
Yeah, for sure. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, so it's a series, right? And, yeah, you're the writer and producer. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, so,
and so
it's a series. I'm sorry, there's like a little bit of a lag, so I think when I start, go ahead, I'm going to let you get it all out. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. Yeah, so I just wanted information, like where can people find more information out about AWOL, this series, and when will it be released, if you have
okay.
any idea.
Yeah, so we're looking at, so we just did a successful crowdfunder over the month of December and January. We're gonna have to reopen it because we weren't able to get our initial number, but we got much more than we thought originally when we planned. So we're all very excited about that. But you can find out more information about the show at www.awoltheseries.com. Which will lead you to our currently closed Indiegogo campaign page with all of our information about the show, who we are, the team behind the show, and why we find it important to be telling this story.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit about the show. It's loosely based on our experience in the classroom, our collective experience in the classroom, and our different avenues. So we have people who are behavioral therapists. We have people who are behavioral specialists, one-to-ones, myself, teachers' assistants, teachers, administrators. And you're going to see it through the lens of a new employee who comes to the school and is confronted with his own trauma past and his own traumas that he didn't know existed as he works and, you know, familiarizes himself within the classroom in special education high school. Mm-hmm. So that's the premise of the show. Yeah, that's the premise of the show. And we're all very excited about it. And like I said, it's based loosely off of a true story. And, yeah, you're just going to see a medley of colorful characters set to the backdrop of a colorful characters for sure of a not so colorful educational system that they're kind of up against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So, sounds interesting. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. So we're looking at shooting. Like I said, we just did our crowdfunder, and we're looking at shooting at the top of at the end of March, early April. And as far as release date, you know, I don't know just yet. We got to figure some things out. I don't know just yet. But we're moving. We're moving in that direction. We're inching there, and we're all very, very excited about it.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I get really excited when I see people doing positive things in the education field and trying to expose people what's going on so that we can help our students, because that's really the goal. Definitely.
Right.
So we have about 10 minutes left, and just to close out, I was just going to read a quick excerpt from my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. So at the beginning of chapter 4, it's called Teacher Trauma on page 48, and quote, childhood trauma becomes student trauma. Student trauma becomes classroom trauma. Classroom trauma becomes teacher trauma. Being around traumatized students begins to rub off on teachers and becomes a secondary form of trauma known as vicarious trauma. The teacher feels powerless because the teacher can't help the student. Every flight announcement before takeoff reminds adults to put on their masks first in an emergency and then to put on the child's mask. Teachers, take care of yourself first, then take care of your students, end quote. But the problem was that the teachers oftentimes aren't taking care of themselves first, and then they don't know how to take care of the students anyway. So I want to raise awareness about the trauma that the teachers experience, the secondary traumatic stress, and show people how both the teacher and the students need help, like desperately. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, so that's
sure.
my mission. And
that's such a powerful quote. That's, you know, you have to put on your mask first, and then turn over and put on the child's mask. That protect yourself first. It's so powerful, and it's true, because you're not equipped if you're not equipped. You're not, you know. So
right.
I really appreciate
right.
you putting that down in words.
Sure. Because a lot of times people, they you know, the different consultants and organizations the school district hires want to just help the kids, and they have all these, you know, grandiose ideas and theories, but they oftentimes don't work out practically because the teachers are like, hey, that's, you know, you need to do this first, or that's not going to work, or you didn't give us the resources to actually implement this plan. So then it becomes ineffective. So there's a lot in the education system, as you know. It's so layered and complicated, and that's why I, you know, wanted you on the show today to give a different perspective, being an actor and a writer, because I think it's another way to express what's going on, because oftentimes the majority of the public is not reading, you know, academic articles, so a lot of the research, important research, is done in higher education, and it doesn't trickle down to the masses or to teachers in the classroom, you know, so, right. So, with the time that we have left, if you had any closing comments, and if you can, you gave us the AWOL information, if you had any other contacts, if people were interested in getting more information, that would be fine as well to include.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as you were talking, I was just thinking about how obviously money and the allocation of it and how that is actually the reverberations and how that's felt in the classroom. So, you know, what I found at the particular place that I was working at, I know it's, you know, we got to wrap up shortly, but is that, you see, in a continuation school, the goal is you get students, the goal is to then have them go back to their home school, do what you can, get them to standard, and then send them back to the home school. It's not a home place for them. So, but a lot of times, because the school receives money from the district for that student, for the services that the school administers to the student, they receive money for that student. So oftentimes where teachers' hands are tied comes from policy implementation from whoever it is making the decisions that's mandated that the teacher must adhere to, that doesn't really serve to the benefit of the student. It's just someone saying, no, do this, but it actually placates the student and makes it easier for the student to kind of coax and be there and stay there so that the school can just continue to receive, I don't know, that, you know, maybe those monies for each student that's there. I don't know. You mm-hmm. know, so it's, you know, I wanted to put that out there because that's the thing too.
No, it definitely is. I'm glad you brought it up because it's true. Even with the Oakland teacher strike going on right now, day three, a lot of the teachers are upset because of Oakland's 87 public schools, 24 of them will be closing, and they'll be closing mm-hmm. because a billionaire-backed charter school organizations are trying to privatize the Oakland public schools. And so when they say there's no money to pay teachers, it's really that the money was mismanaged and used to pay, yeah, education consultants. So there is a lot of financial issues that affect the classroom. It's a lot of it is about money, and I feel using students, it's off the back of our students for other
exactly.
people to get rich. It's,
and to the disservice yeah. of our students for other people to get
mm-hmm.
rich. And so
it's yeah.
like, what are we serious? But again,
right.
What students, you know, what students are the ones that this is happening to? You see what I'm saying? So like that's
exactly
where I have that's that personal investment site. Yeah. So anyway, my social media handles, I just have Instagram. My Instagram handle is @_Christian, spelled like the religion, Henley, spelled like the shirt, Henley, @_Christian Henley. And you can find my Instagram.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Christian, thank you so much for your insight, for your time, for what you're doing. It is such important work, and it makes a difference. So we really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today.
Stacey, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's really, I mean, honestly, and I'm so excited to actually, I'm going to pick up your book and read it because obviously you've got so much information. And, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm over here. It's cool for me right now talking to you. So
likewise.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to pick up the book. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me.
Sure. And if anyone else is interested in my book, again, it's available on Amazon in digital and paperback format. You can reach me on all social media platforms at Stacey, STACIE, Matt Clam, MCCLAM, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and my website is www.stacymcclam.com. Thank you all so much for joining us on Teacher Talks. This is our season finale, and we will be returning in August. Thanks again, Christian.
Thank you, Stacey. Thank you, Beverly.
Thank you, Christian and Stacy. What an enlightening, impactful conversation. There were so many rife gems and a lot of enlightenment, both on the educational and parental side of the equation. So once again, Christian, thank you so much for being on Teacher Talks. Thank you, Stacy, for hosting this phenomenal platform. I also would like to thank our previous guests as we close out season one of Teacher Talks. Thank you to former educator Earl Sewell. Thank you to educator Kendi Andre. Thank you to parent advocate Kelly Williams-Bolar. Thank you to Senator Barbara A. Robinson, 40th District, Annapolis, Maryland. And thank you to both you and myself, Stacy, for launching this platform, for having these right conversations. And we will definitely be looking forward to season two. Our first guest is Mr. Andrew Guy, and the guest list is open. So get in touch with either myself or Stacy. I am Beverly Black, and I'm the creator of Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. My website is gumbofortheSoulInternational.com, and our studio is blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Again, we are a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/tribefamilychannel. Also on Twitter at tribefamilyus. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, go ahead and email us at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. Again, tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. Tribe stands for talent, respect, inspiration, beauty, empowerment. Have a blessed rest of your evening. Be sure to check us out, and I am hopeful that many of you educators will be ready to get on board with Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Initiative in association with Genius is Common. Have a blessed evening, and we will talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way, yo. Trying to learn the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright, oh. No one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together, I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse. Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, you're opening up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I run my class like I know I should, I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood, I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah. Getting my class to spread the wind, being at school makes me wanna sing, oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together, teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
Yeah. It feels like it's been cold forever, I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need. I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time, gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah.
teacher. I'm a teacher. Yeah,
yeah. You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. Jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. Classes online, gotta open up the minds.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.